But yeah, we'll do that. Okay, so is there anything you want to talk about before that?
I sent you just a little bit of a thing about our latest encounter.
Yeah.
So yeah, just everyone seems to be just that much different, and I thought we might have been doing some more repentance, but we just went into that whole the sound and frequency thing.
Yeah.
It's quite interesting, yeah. So that's been, yeah, it's been neat.
Yeah, I thought yesterday was quite significant.
Yeah.
As far as entering into a new season of worship.
Yeah. So in light of that, what do you feel in terms of the blue book and different things? You know, have you got any sort of more clarity about what specifically that's directing you towards as a group or as a three? Or
I think we are dealing with the various moves of God and what comes against it for North America. I believe it's seated in Canada. That was part of the vision yesterday. The Blue Book is definitely the scroll. I believe a lot of it is seated in generations past. Things started back then. As far as the worship goes, I'm seeing that in a literal level. There's many musicians in our area that are moving into new forms of worship, which involve frequency and isn't necessarily the same old harmony and write a song with a tune. It's more about what the Lord brings spontaneously. And we're starting to do some gatherings that way, and we're increasing the amount of drum circles that happen and teaching about drum circles. And it was extremely confirming to, as a bench of three, see that yesterday.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, really good. Yeah. And I think there's a definite thing in the spirit in terms of the sound and the frequency and engaging that. I think my experience is that surprisingly, sort of, let's say, more mature people are really picking up that sound before younger people. Because I think there's a sense that God is wanting to prepare a generation to be able to mantle that which is coming. And so there's a sense of forerunning and picking up those sounds and beginning to engage in worship around the sound that our spirit is resonating with, which, you know, is that deep calling out to deep. It's something much deeper in God and much deeper in us that's connecting at a level which I don't think people have connected before in the same way. I've had pretty intense times of worship in the past, but nothing like I'm connecting now. Not necessarily about physical manifestation, but just my spirit being connected and joined and flowing with God in it, and feeling free and released, you know, very much almost soaring. And I believe ultimately what's coming is where we come together, we step in around the presence of God together, and then we begin to engage in what God's purposes is for that moment. I begin to release that into the room, and for people to pick up their assignments in the spirit, and be assigned to different nations or transfer location in time or space, simply because we've just come around the presence of God, and that's what it's about, engaging with Him. You know, I think the platform type of experience with teaching and that stuff, to be honest, that platform is coming down, and I think God wants us to engage Him directly. You know, I'm not against teaching, but I believe that we're in a transition into, we're bringing people into where they can engage the presence of God themselves. Mm-hmm. And they will hear and see what He's doing, and then they will just do it. And that might be doing something in the room, it might be doing something elsewhere in the realm of the Spirit, but our whole engagement will be like, we don't know whether we're in the body, out of the body, we don't know whether we're in heaven, heaven's here, we're completely overlapping in the two and just living in it and then ministering out of it and serving God out of it and engaging through it. And, you know, I think that's what's coming, and we're just picking up the first sounds and rhythms and part of that that will bring us into it. I think we'll find the men in white linen and the cloud of witnesses all begin to engage, the angelic realms begin to just connect and overlap as we really pursue that depth in the sound that's coming. It carries, you know, we say sound, but it carries so much more than a sound. You know, it carries a frequency that contains everything. You know, that's the thing. It's everything. It's not just sound. We find it difficult sometimes to put a label on it when we sort of say, "Oh, we see that," or "We hear that," but it encompasses all the senses. And beyond those five senses that we've got into our spiritual senses that begin to engage, which, you know, I think is really exciting. And it's really exciting when you just start to see people begin to pick it up in the realm of the Spirit and start to pursue it. But it's good. Yeah.
You said it very well. You expressed it very well. And I was sharing with them one of the things that, and it's going around. People are learning this. And Elizabeth posted an article to our group about the frequencies, and that Hitler changed the frequency to tune to 440 from 432.
Yeah.
And a friend of mine, worship leader, did a little experiment and about healing and frequencies. And so he tuned his guitar to 432. And learned some old 30s and 40s songs like Frank Sinatra, and went in a nursing home. Mm. And people came out of vegetative states.
Right.
People started moving to the music, and it's so much more than we knew even 30 years ago when, you know, when charismatic renewal really started rolling. It's what you said. It's so much more.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, our whole music team retuned their instruments to 332 quite a while ago. And there's more to discover in that as well, because I think, you know, the way in which the musical scale is written with the notes being equidistant, and they're not like that. The frequencies aren't equidistant.
Right.
And we're so used to it being that way that when you actually hear it differently, it takes it takes getting used to it. But actually, it's the pure sound that God intended, rather than what was created out of convenience. But also, as you said, some things were changed deliberately to remove some of those frequencies. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, also there are certain frequencies themselves which actually carry healing within them. I think 528 is one of the healing frequencies, which you can begin to introduce behind those songs that we sing or the music that we're making, that actually introduce a sound to it. And you can get tuning forks, and you can get tuning bars that that vibrate to 528, and you can begin to play those things and minister those things also. And there are other frequencies that do other things in the realm of the spirit. And we're just beginning to, I think, just start to explore what some of those things are and how some of those things work. Mm-hmm. And it's really important. You know, these things are being released for a reason, because they begin to retune our body. You know, when we start to engage in places like the soaking room, literally, we are. It's not just oil, as in a liquid, or it's a frequency that, you know, the essential oils carry a higher frequency of sound, a higher frequency of vibration, which is given off from them, which begins to retune our organs, begin to retune our body, brings us back into alignment with creation to answer its groan. And when we're aligned to the frequencies of God, then we begin to bring creation back into alignment. And so there's so much, I think, that the revelation of that is being released right now. And as we engage in places like the soaking room, and we allow the frequencies of God and the fragrances of the frequencies of God, it's like something that are fragrantly produced that we can connect with. It changes us. You know, it begins to transform us. It realigns us. You know, and I think so much more of that is coming. Yeah, and we just got to keep going and keep pursuing it, not get put off by, you know, the criticism of, oh, you're doing new agey things and all this stuff. No, it's just ancient age. You know, it's what was. And, you know, we're bringing what was back into what is to change what will be. And that's our role. That's what we're called to do, to engage what was. But to manifest it into the is today. And, you know, begin to terraform things, begin to transform things. It may be initially in areas that we are in authority over, but just like the garden, you know, that was just the base. That was just the embassy of heaven on earth connected with the river of life flowing, so that then could be a subduing and an overcoming and a ruling of the rest of not just the world, but actually the whole of the created order, physical and spiritual. And so there's a whole dimension where we have to bring and restore light, the frequency of light back in, but then we're supposed to be light carriers, and we're supposed to be children of light, as God is light, carrying a different frequency of light in the sense of a creative light rather than created, operating at a higher frequency, at a higher speed, so that we can bring dark matter and dark energy back into the flow of the light that was taken out of it through the angelic fall, when a third of them fell from the heavens and left this. And there are scientific studies recently. I saw an article in one of our national newspapers that talked about that scientists have discovered there should be so much more light than there is. And when they look at the older parts of creation, they actually see that there's more light than there are in the newer parts, and they're perplexed. But that's actually what, you know, we are called to bring light and to carry light and to bring that back into created order. And I think everything about us will begin to radiate something. We call it light, but actually it's so much more than just light that will carry the fullness of sonship to bring that, bring creation back into the, what does it say? The freedom of the glory of the children of God. You know, I love to meditate around that. What was that freedom of the glory of the children of God? What did it look like in eternity past? What did it look like in God's heart? What did it look like that we should embrace it? And then how do we begin to outwork that and manifest that now? And, you know, have the capacity to engage sound and light and the creative abilities of sound and light that were lost through the different bandwidth falls you know, at the fall and at the flood and at the Tower of Babel, a restoration of all that was intended by God, bringing us back into the fullness of it. You know, and that's what the order of Melchizedek will really be about. You know, after that order, which is really exciting, you know, we might just be being drawn to the sound right now, but it's drawing us deeper and deeper and deeper into who we are and who God is so that we can begin to manifest who God is through who we are. And that's, you know, an amazing thing that God has chosen to use us in that way. But he has, so pretty awesome. Just going around that whole subject is an amazing one. So I just love it.
Mm-hmm. When you're describing created light and creative light, that's almost like the difference of the sound that we just kind of were brushing on yesterday. It was very much a holy essence, you know, coming from God. It was untainted, you know, it was just totally, totally from Him. And there was like the fear of the Lord, I guess, that accompanied that, where you didn't want to put, man didn't want to put his hand on it. You know, he can be a carrier, he can be a conduit, but he can't be, he can't take it and begin to manipulate it. And that just seemed like the difference. Okay, so this is creative sound, not the created sound that man has come up with. Absolutely, with instruments, yeah. And taking over worship and what it should be in the formula. And there's none of that with this. This is the essence just is so pure, you don't really, there's nothing else that's needed for it. And I think I've been finding that in worship too, is that especially if you want to play songs with words, you know, that we're singing to get us in unity, but once we're in that place, it's almost like the words and the attempts of worship leaders to create something is more of a distraction and gets in the way of really worshiping and being at one with Him. I don't want words because that involves my mind, and I'm trying to just remain in the Spirit with Him,
yeah.
And not be taken to that mind place where my left brain is kicking in and trying to remember the next verse or what's a chorus. And
oh, absolutely, yeah, definitely. And I think that's where it's more of a sound that we release from our being than just words. You know, it's a sound. There's a frequency. There's a color that's given off, and I think we find ourselves, you know, very often that's when we begin to just sing the name God and just begin to resonate with Him, in a deeper way, and then begin to step into Him and accept that invocation to come into Him, and then you have a whole different understanding of worship. It's not that we're separate. It's that we're in Him and He's in us, and we are just coming together in complete unity, which is different. I mean, it is just a different experience, and you know, when you recognize it, you know, I hear the sound coming, you know, when we're worshiping and we're just, you know, maybe we do sing a song sometimes, you know, my spirit just feels the sound. I can feel it. My arms start to make symbols and movements according to the sound, and release it. I mean, it is just an amazing thing, you know. But then, you know, if we encourage our worship, people who are exploring and willing to pursue, to step into the presence of God themselves around the ark and to pick up the rhythm, and pick up the frequency, and pick up the sound, and release it, then we will be able to join in with it, you know. And it's that willingness to explore, and then begin to lead, and to facilitate. Really, it's more about facilitating everyone participating in it. When we begin to do that, it just releases something completely on a different scale. And that's what we need to encourage people to do. You know, so there's just this complete overlap. The veil is open. There's an overlap with heaven and earth. Yes, we are forming an arc to make a connection, but then we're looking to step into what is manifested. I think it should be where are we? Is God come to meet with us? Have we gone to meet with Him? No, we're actually all together, which is a wonderful place to be.
Mm-hmm.
We just have to encourage people who are facilitators to let go and not be worried about the notes or the technical issues, or to let go and just begin to engage and let their spirit loose. Because I think letting their spirit loose is an absolute key. And then we can all begin to join in spirit to spirit. You know, and it should be that we should all be participating in it. You know, it's not that, oh, well, the musicians are leading us. No, we can lead. We lead from our spirit. As our spirit causes a sound, that they can pick up that sound, or a rhythm, that they can pick up that rhythm, and then we begin to flow into a wonderful sort of harmony, which is not an earthly harmony. And the angels join in on that, and you hear angelic sounds and angelic releasing of things, you know, which is, you know, awesome. You know, I love it.
Yeah, once you get a taste of that, it's there's no going back. There's nothing that satisfies.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. And then it's really then looking to carry that with us when we engage personally on our own. Because I think sometimes people find it easier to engage when there is that atmosphere created and we've sort of shared that atmosphere with each other. But we have to be able to engage in our own personal times with God, carrying that sound within. You know, when I come before the ark, I can hear the sound. I can hear it in my spirit. I can hear the sound of singing God's name. I can just hear the rhythm of life, of breathing in and breathing out, and the flow of life that's there, you know, on my own, because I just carry it in my spirit, and I can release that wherever I am. And I think we all need to just be able to engage that way. Because if you think, you know, where two or three are gathered, He's in the midst. Well, if I'm me and He's in me, then we're always gathered. And He can always be in the midst of me wherever I am. And whoever and wherever I'm operating, He can be in the midst of me, and then there can be a manifestation of His presence. And His person, His glory, yeah, as I'm surrendering to it and flowing with it and engaging with it, you know, because the river of life contains sound and frequency and light. You know, it's a crystal river, so it carries something of that nature within it that flows in us and through us. So there's a lot, really, around that, which is just awesome to begin to explore and to engage in. So I love that.
Yeah, that's easy to see. Yep. It's like we get a realignment, you know, and we it takes out the chatters and the creaks of our souls and bodies when we get in there. And we get lubricated just like a car that gets a front end alignment.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, you know, and there are places around where that sound is being released, you know, and people are being drawn to the sound, which is great. And I think that will be one of the signs of embassies of heaven, if you like, or apostolic resource centers, whatever you want to call them. That sound will be just present, and it will be a sign that this is a place where God's intending occupying and coming. because we've given him space and we've given him room and we're there for him. You know, we're there for him, not for us. You know, so many times in the old sort of order of things, people came for them. They came to get a fix. They came to get their weekly dose of God. They came to get ministry. They came to get some being fed. And the reality is, it should be we come to give and to overflow. And we come to make ourselves available to God and to each other. And there's no sense of consumerism that we're coming to church to meet our needs. No, we are church to meet the needs of the world and to host the presence of God and the person of God and the glory of God. You know, and you can't, you know, you can't, you have to make a choice. You know, you're either going to be a place that hosts the people of God and they're people focused and they're concerned about what people think and making them comfortable and making them happy and keeping them content, or you're going to be a place that hosts the presence of God and, you know, the God of the people. We want to host the God of the people, and then we meet with him and we engage with him, and the whole dynamic shifts from what we're going to receive to who we are and how we release that amongst each other and in each other, which, you know, is great, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but pardon me, my battery's getting low on my laptop, so I'm, anyway, that's, you know, that's a trading floor. When we realize that in worship, you know, we're ministering unto the Lord, we're ministering to him. And out of that, the outflow of that is he provides and takes care of us. And, you know, if you study the generations of the sons of Zadok, that's why God honored Zadok and his generations so much, is that he ministered to him. Yeah. And, you know, that was a revelation to me about 20 years ago.
Yeah.
When we catch on to that, but you explained something to me back to the frequencies. I've got a friend who's, and it's I've always didn't understand what he was saying, but he was like, the worship teams we bring in, they don't get it. They don't get it. And I'm like, just let Holy Spirit flow. Just let them do their thing. And now I'm starting to understand he's looking for this. He's looking for the release into these frequencies and that they would step into this realm. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I see why, you know, he's always worrying about worship leaders or commenting.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, yeah.
It makes me wonder, too, about, you know, that there's always the prophetic word that'll rise up saying the promise about God restoring the tabernacle of David. Well, if that was their full intent, if it was ministering to the Lord and only ministering to the Lord, and people could come in and join in that, but the focus was ministering to the Lord, then they probably had, paved the way to this already. Their instruments would have been already tuned to those same frequencies and not lost like ours. They had 24/7 ministry to the Lord, not ministry to the people, not entertainment, not worried about any other focus, but just reaching his heart and releasing his heart. And that must have been an incredible place to walk by, to walk into, to join into.
Oh, absolutely, yeah, definitely. And, you know, David lived in the presence of the future. You know, everything about what his engagement, he lived in the presence of the future. So he lived in the place where the Holy Spirit was with him and in him, where others didn't. He lived in a place of supernatural engagement with God. He saw, he engaged in a different dimension, and you read some of the Psalms and you just think some of the things he wrote. Yeah, he had a personal experience of this. Yeah, he was a worshiper. He was a man after God's own heart. And And I think, you know, the keys of David, the tabernacle of David, the doors that are open because of the these things coming together, I think are so key for us to understand, and so that we begin to rediscover. You're right, you know, we need to rediscover the fullness of what was going on when the presence of God in a tangible form was actually manifested in their midst. It was God's glory who was manifested. It wasn't just a subjective thing that, oh, well, that was a good meeting, that wasn't a good meeting. It was totally objective, tangible, that they saw and experienced God's person, his glory manifesting because of that dimension of openness. Which is pretty awesome, I think. Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. Well, let's